Hi everybody, we're going to be continuing our study of the book of Mark. Today's passage is from Mark chapter 5. We'll be reading from verse 1 through 20. It's a little bit of a longer passage, but again, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. All right, so as a refresher, when we last left off in Mark last Thursday, Jesus and his disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee to the other side. On this journey, there was a great storm that Jesus eventually calmed with just a word, to the amazement of his disciples. And in today's passage there, it's basically the conclusion of that in some ways, where they reach the other side of the sea and land in the country of the Gerasenes. And as soon as they do so, or to use Mark's language, immediately, a man with an unclean spirit comes and approaches Jesus. It's kind of an intense scene. This man, driven and oppressed by demons, lives among the tombs, and even when shackled and chained, he's able to break free. He cries out day and night and physically harms himself. I mean, some of us may be uncomfortable with this language of unclean spirits or demon possession, but this is a reality both then and now. And this man in this passage is clearly in need of healing and freedom. And Jesus does just that. Jesus casts the spirits out of the man and gives them permission to enter a herd of pigs, which subsequently rush into the sea and drown. Again, all of this is really quite dramatic and intense. And there's a lot we could say about this passage. For example, what is up with demonization? Like, why did the spirits drive the pigs to drown? Like, what even is demon possession? Or why does the crowd respond with such fear that they beg Jesus to leave the region? All of these are valid questions that I encourage you to come before God with on your own time, just because I don't have all the time today. But what stood out to me as I read through this passage is the immense compassion of Jesus. It's the immense compassion of Jesus. Because if you read the passage in context, you'll realize that Jesus crosses over a storm-filled sea just to meet and heal this one man. In verse 21, which is part of tomorrow's passage, we see that Jesus crosses back again to the other side of the sea. So if you put all of this together, he literally goes from one part of the sea through a storm to the other side of the sea to heal this man with unclean spirits, and then just crosses back over. This is amazing compassion and love. Most of us might think that really wasn't an efficient trip. We would think, you know, that we would do maybe more while we're there, maybe heal more people or teach among more crowds or do all these other things. But Jesus goes literally just to meet this one man and to heal him of his demon possession. I mean, what amazing love and compassion. In a sense, I think that this passage is a microcosm of the gospel as a whole. Jesus came into this world, leaving his rightful place in heaven to teach, to heal, to live among people. He certainly didn't have to, but he did. Out of his great love, mercy, and compassion for us, he humbled himself, crossed over into this world, and humbled himself even further by dying on the cross. That's who Jesus is. My hope and prayer for us today is that we would all remember this, that this is the God we follow, serve, and know, a God of love and compassion, a God of great sacrifice, a God who shows love even if it feels inefficient. But not only do I hope that we'll remember this, my encouragement for us today is to be like this now formerly demon-possessed man. This man's life changed instantly and completely the moment he met Jesus. He went from a demonized man with no hope and future to a man with a new life. And we see that Jesus' command to him in verse 19 was to go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And the man does just that. He goes into the Decapolis, which is basically a cluster of 10 cities in the Roman Empire, proclaiming how much Jesus had done for him, and everybody is amazed. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, then your life also has been changed by Jesus. Maybe you weren't demon-possessed like this man, but even still, regardless, whatever your life may have been like before, once you met Jesus, once you made him Lord and Savior of your life, your life changed. Your life has been transformed. Your life has been made new. And therefore, if that's the case, then my exhortation, my encouragement for us today is that let's live like it. Let's live as those whose lives have been changed. Let's be like this man and proclaim how much Jesus has done for us. And I do think this comes when we remember what Jesus has done for us. And so again, I think that's why it's important for us to think about that first part, of remembering Jesus' great compassion. So with that, let me pray for us as we close out. Father, as we look to this passage, and of course the scripture as a whole, we remember, Lord, what you have done, where you came into this world, even though you didn't have to. Out of your great love, though, you came and you showed us how much you loved us by walking among us, showing us the way, and becoming the way to the Father through your death on the cross. Lord, help us to remember this daily. And Lord, help us to also remember that when we met you, when we came to know you, our lives were transformed just like that of this man. And just like this man, I pray that we too, knowing that we have been changed, saved, healed, and transformed, we would go forth and seek to proclaim your name, your gospel, to all those around us, to make you known, Jesus, to everybody, sharing about all that you have done to us, for us. So God, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the life that we now have. Give us the boldness, the courage, the excitement to share about you to all those that we encounter, Lord. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.